I don't know if Todd remembers this, but there was one week when we were in the top 50 podcasts in Guatemala last year.
Why don't you have that listed on our Twitter profile?
Remember where we were number one in Kazakhstan or whatever it was. Remember that?
Okay, I want a t-shirt that says my podcast is number one in
Kazakhstan. Yeah, we had. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, and I am joined this week by Shelly and Shabby, and from Bradley County, the great footballer Todd is with us. Guys, we've got a great guest with us tonight. You know, we have a game, y'all. It is match week, and in a little more than a day, it's going to be match day, and we get to start our season with familiar foe, our friends coming down from just under the Mason-Dixon line in Maryland, the Maryland Bobcats. Normally, I mean, in the past, we've talked to Evan, and I reached out to Evan, and apparently he's doing goalkeeper stuff. So he said that he would give me somebody who knew a little bit more about stuff than he does. And he has he arranged
the truth
for,
is he just thinks he's too good to be on our show now. That's
he probably
the
does
actual truth to it.
Yeah,
we can't afford him anymore.
Yeah, we can't afford him anymore. But he's gotten somebody that has some experience with the club, and so Adam Gotkin is when I was his age, I would not be, first of all, I wouldn't be hanging out with weirdos like us, but you know, the experience he's got is pretty remarkable. He's a senior in high school going to attend Syracuse University in the fall. We all have our mistakes. You know, I make our mistakes, and Syracuse is a good school. It is in the ACC. There are other better schools in the ACC that we could talk about, but hey, you know, he's going to Syracuse. Got a lot of experience in play-by-play and other media, going into college with a real head start in sports journalism. Adam, it's really great to have you on the podcast. And how are things going in Montgomery County, Maryland?
Well, that was a great intro, and thank you so much for having me on today. Things are going pretty well in Montgomery County. It finally feels like spring. We had snow somehow like a week ago, but it finally feels like it's actually March, and things are doing good.
So you already have pretty good experience going into, you know, as a high school student. You've done play by play for the Gaithersburg Giants, and talk to me a little about that experience. I'm not familiar with what level of baseball are the Giants.
So the Gaithersburg Giants, it's summer collegiate ball.
Okay.
So in soccer, that's what the USL League 2 would be.
Sure.
It's all of the college players come, and then they'll go play their summer ball all around the country. I think the league that the Gaithersburg Giants is in is the fourth best league in the country, and it's the Cal Ripken League. And so it's a bunch of guys from around the country. Like LSU has had a number of players come to us, a couple of their top players, and pretty much during the summer they come and play ball and in for the Cal Ripken League in the DC area.
Hey, this is Todd. I'm just not really familiar with baseball at that level. So when they come there to play, are they wooden bats or aluminum bats?
So this is a wooden bat league. So that's kind of the main thing is really kind of preparing them to play professionally. So it's a wooden bat league, but normally in college they're playing with the aluminum bats.
Right. Awesome.
So how did you get connected to the Bobcats? I'm really interested in hearing, once you answer that, the differences you see in broadcasting and play-by-play with baseball and soccer.
So I got connected through the Bobcats just based on them posting something on Twitter before their season last year saying, we're interested, like, we're looking for broadcasters for our home matches. If you're interested, reach out. And at the time, I didn't have anything to do. I also do broadcasting and play-by-play for my high school sports at Quince Orchard High School in Montgomery County. And because of COVID, we still weren't having a season yet, and I had nothing to do. And I saw them tweet about it. I followed them on Twitter, and I DM'd and was talking to Evan, who you guys know. I sent in my reel, and we just started talking, and eventually I ended up somehow convincing him to allow a, at that time, 16-year-old on the mic. And from my experience with baseball, honestly, it helped a ton with the Bobcats, because unfortunately last year for every match except one, I was solo, which I was like baseball. And for a lot of people, baseball and soccer are the most boring sports. Personally, I disagree, but I've been able to figure out what to talk about and how to keep talking throughout all 90 minutes and know when to stop talking. And, you know, baseball definitely helps with that, being solo and all that kind of thing.
I love that. And I think that you hit on something really wonderful there when you said knowing when to be quiet, like when to give that space. One of my main complaints right now with a lot of commentators and color commentators is they seem to think they need to fill all 90 minutes. And, you know, you really don't. I don't need to hear you say 8 different ways somebody is running across the pitch. Like, once you said so-and-so was running across the pitch, until they're done running, you don't have to keep talking at me. So I love that you are already aware and cognizant of that and incorporating that into your commentatory?
Yeah, you definitely noticed this from my start to the end, because I started off doing radio for high school soccer. And with that, you have to keep talking because no one can see what's going on. So if you go back and listen to like a year ago from where I was to now and our first home match, which I'll be commentating next Saturday, I think you'll be able to notice there is a huge difference with that. And I'm, you know, starting to understand it.
Well, I mean, obviously showing that you're a big sports fan as well. So do you have any favorite sports or soccer teams, I guess, rather specifically?
Not really. I used to be a huge Liverpool supporter, but not much
we
anymore.
Can terminate this call only, now.
Not anymore, really. I don't follow any. I don't have enough energy to wake up in the mornings and closely follow any European. I watch some DC United and go to some matches, but not much anymore. The only team that I really, really follow now is the men's national team. Which I don't know when this is coming out, but tonight play Mexico. So
yep, we do tonight at 10:30.
Yep, and this is in the Azteca, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And one Breezy is there for the match.
Oh, he is
on TV. Yeah, he's going to be there and for the Costa Rica match.
Of course he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, while we're talking about the national team qualifiers, did you all see that massive upset earlier this evening?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Italy lost to Macedonia? Like, what?
Macedonia. South Macedonia. Not Macedonia proper. It was just South Macedonia.
North Macedonia.
Huh?
It was North Macedonia.
Oh, North Macedonia.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
no.
North Macedonia.
North Macedonia implies the existence of a South Macedonia. So.
Understood.
Potato, potato.
Yeah. Somewhere around Greece.
Yeah, no, that was one heck of an upset.
Yeah.
It's just...
Wow.
I'm still flabbergasted.
Further proving sports is weird, y'all. Sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, soccer is weird.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, you do. And you do, you kind of have to be a glutton for punishment to follow an EPL team, because, yeah, there's some really early mornings.
Yeah, there are. There are. He had the right color going, just the wrong area of just a little too far north for my liking. Were you with the Bobcats last year in their first year of NISA?
Yeah, I was with them last spring and fall. So this will be my second year with the team.
Okay. And what has your experience been like with the team? I mean, how have you enjoyed working with, you know, really kind of a low level, like a lower league soccer team in the U.S.
I mean, so far it's been great. It's been everything I could have asked for plus more. I mean, you guys know Evan, you've talked to Evan, and you know what he's helped me achieve is truly crazy. I don't know this for sure, but I'd have to imagine I'm the youngest professional soccer broadcaster in the country at the time. And just like to know that and to realize that and to think about that is really something special. And the fact that him and the other people at the Bobcats and Jay, the president, that they would believe in me to do that is just crazy to think about, because I was some random at the time 16-year-old when they first brought me on. And the experience there has been great. I've learned so much through it. You know, last year we had a pretty production-wise low-level broadcast. Just kind of how it was. There was so much stuff going on with the first professional season that was kind of towards the bottom of the list. And I was doing a lot of production myself and video editing for it. And that was a lot. But this year, as you guys will see, we'll have a much more high caliber broadcast. So that'll help a lot. But I've gotten so much experience in so many different things that, I couldn't have asked for anything better with my experience so far with the Bobcats.
So take us back to last year and up to this point. Like, what's been one of the standout moments for you? I mean, for us, like, you know, you kind of said, you know, the way you came into it was a little bit different than how we came into being. Like, we were fans of CFC before we started doing this. And for me, like, even now, like, when I see players, like, I'm a fan first. I'm like, oh, it's Juan Hernandez. And I still get a little bit, I know it sounds ridiculous, but a little bit starstruck. Like, do you get that from the players? Like, do you do interviews and things, and like the stuff like that even faze you?
A little bit. The craziest experience that I had was when we hosted Detroit City last fall. If anyone watched this, you know, there were 2-3 lightning delays that were like hours long. And so at one point we went into like the gym inside, or I guess like the field house where there's like basketball hoops, and me and the couple of the interns are just playing like basketball with the soccer ball, and right next to us is the entire Detroit City team all playing knockout, and then we're playing basketball with all the Bobcats players in the middle of the match. And like, you know, these are like professional players, and you know, Detroit, there are a lot of really good guys there, and guys on the Bobcats who had national team experience. And that was like probably the craziest experience, to just like be playing with those guys, and then, you know, to like be at trainings. And it is weird to just like kind of realize and like finally understand, like, these are professional athletes, to be like hanging around them. It's very cool. But I've at this point done it so much and so often that it's just kind of part of the job. And I don't even really understand or really think about the fact until after that these are professional athletes. It kind of takes me a minute to kind of really have it sink in.
So now you've been with the team for a little while, and we talked briefly before we started recording that you've been in training. So what's the feeling around the training ground now with Maryland as we're getting ready to start with the first match this Saturday?
This may be something that you don't want to hear, but it's all very, very positive. The jumps that I've seen from last year this year is really, it's two completely different clubs. And I don't want to say anything bad about Coach Shan. He was all great to me, an amazing guy. But I mean, what Sylvain Restello, the new manager of the team, has done, what he's brought in, is just, it's two completely different sides. And there's so much added talent. This team this year would beat last year's team 6-0 if they were playing in a preseason match. There's so much organization, the shape that they keep that you can rarely see in a professional team. It's not what you guys want to hear as Chattanooga fans, but I feel like there is something special brewing in Maryland right now.
So what you're saying is we have a shot.
No, I love that. And the way you're speaking toward it, I've got to ask, is there something specific beyond, you know, you're seeing that there's talent and it's well organized, is there something really that you can point at and go, this is what I'm excited to see this season?
There's so much, it's hard to really pick one thing. But something that I guess I noticed yesterday is they are really, because I was at training yesterday, they're really focusing on set pieces. And now I'm not going to go into exact of what they're doing in place and stuff, but that's something really focused on here. It's something that they struggled with last season. And to see that that is like those small things, while, you know, that the small part of the game, but it can have huge dividends and it can pay off big if you end up scoring off of them. The fact that they're really focusing on them, that's one of the things that's really stuck out to me the most.
Interesting. Well, something that I like to watch on the field, especially the first part of the season, is the cohesiveness of the team and how well they gel together on the pitch, especially when you have relatively new teams. So do you think that's something that you're seeing different this year in terms of the Bobcats field of play, is that they're already gelling really well and having that trust already built up in their practices that you've watched?
I feel like they definitely are gelling really well. You know, it's a lot of young guys. There's also some older players and a number of returners, and they're all just, it's all coming together really well. You know, they're having a lot of two-a-days, a lot of engagements within the community, which now COVID was happening before and it is still happening, but that really shut things down here. So you couldn't have much community engagement in the past, but that's really taken a next step, you know, having brunch with fans and meeting at a brewery, all that kind of stuff. The team has had a lot of bonding. And with that and the guys that have been together and some of the veteran leadership, I feel like it's all working really well, because at the end of the day, everyone's goal is to win. And when you all have that same goal together, then it's all going to end up working out. And I think so far they look like a real team together.
Do you think all that engagement that you've had, do you think that's going to translate to support in the stands?
I hope so. I think it will take a bit, because I think if you think about it, how hard it is to launch a team in the middle of a pandemic, when your first couple of matches of the year, you cannot have any fans at. It was not easy at all. And with what they had last year, they had the most midweek matches in the league. I think they had two more than anyone else. So last season was very hard to draw fans. I think this year, the weather should be nice. Engagement with youth clubs is going to be really important. Get those youth clubs out to the matches. You know, there's a million people in Montgomery County where they play, and there's another million in Baltimore County where the fans at. The people are there. It's not easy to draw fans out, especially when there's so much to do. And the fact that the stadium is, while it is super nice, it is kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's about 15 minutes outside of the highway. So we'll see. I really hope that it does lead to a lot of, you know, higher attendance. And I think that it will, but we can only wait and see.
Well, I'm loving hearing the part about the community piece, because that's something that's really a big component of CFC's philosophy, and giving back to the community and being seen in the community and giving back, because we really believe us to be, I mean, we're built from the ground up. We're a team built by the community here. So I love hearing when other teams have that same approach, because I think it also shows kind of the ethos of what we're trying to do with U.S. culture and American soccer and building, you know, a stronger community. So I love that you actually can confirm that there are other teams that are out there kind of walking the same walk.
Yeah. And as the season goes on and the year goes on, it's just going to keep going up and up, the involvement in the community, because I know that that's really important. You know, the Bobcats, you'll see this all over social media. The saying for the club is, for all. You'll see hashtag for all everywhere. And that's such a huge thing for the team. And you'll see that more and more, that really engaging with the community is important for everyone that's involved in the club.
So do you have, are you willing to step out on a limb and make a prediction for this Saturday?
Well, the fact that I'm not commentating, I guess I can. if this was a home match for the Bobcats, I wouldn't, but you know, I'm not calling it. So I guess I will. I think it's going to be a draw, either 1-1 or 0-0. I think, you know, the first match of the year, there's going to be a lot of, you know, excitement. And I think that could definitely help Chattanooga early on. But I think if Maryland can stop or not allow any early goals, I think it'll lead to a really tight match, a lot of opportunities. Both teams have really solid keepers. I mean, Maryland has three goalies who honestly could start for almost any team in the league. And then Chattanooga, you know, bring back the starter from last year and bringing Kevin Gonzalez from Stumptown, who is an elite keeper. I think that both whoever it is in goal for Maryland and honestly whoever it is for Chattanooga are both going to come up big. And I think that it'll be a draw, as I said, either 1-1 or 0-0.
All right. I like it. Well, I don't like it, but I mean, I like the analysis. I don't like the result that you. We need to get those. You got to get the. You got
in the league.
You
got to get.
You got to get those home wins. You got to get. You know. You got to get 3 points at home and maybe work on getting points on the road. So.
Hey Adam, let me ask you, what does success like look like for you for the team for this year in terms of like finishing the end of the season? Like, is anything in the top five a success? Top four? What does that look like from your perspective?
Well, I think it's absolutely making the playoffs. So being in the top six, the team's goal is to win the league and to win the East. I know that's the goal for the club. And then what's really important too is the U.S. Open Cup. You know, they have Pittsburgh, and then, you know, win that. And I think that's really important. You know, it's win, and at the same time try and build the community, because winning is important and winning is big. But if they can get more fans to matches and make a positive impact in the community, I definitely think it's a mix of both. It's both those two things.
And did you guys draw Pittsburgh at home, or do you have to go there?
It's in Pittsburgh, but the dream is win that and then get the DC United match at home, because where we play at the Soccerplex, that's where DC United has played their past cup matches there. And no matter what it is, that's cool. And it's beat Pittsburgh. And, you know, there's a lot of guys on the team who came from USL championship clubs who have that experience. So that is really important to the Bobcats this year.
So as you look at the rest of the league, you know, we've got, you mentioned that the club's goal is to win the East. So we've got a couple of new expansion teams, one from, you know, where you're headed in a couple of months in Syracuse, or allegedly, I've heard there's a club there. It's, you know, I think they dropped some players today.
They've had a big week, Jim. They've had a big week of signing all over the place.
Yeah, they're a little bit CFC North right now. What do you think about the other teams? I understand it's kind of hard because they're expansion. We've not really seen them play, and we've only known briefly who the players are. But what do you think Maryland's chances are with the expansion teams?
I mean, I don't know much because we don't know much. No one knows much. I mean, AC Syracuse did release their full roster today, of course. For those of you who don't know, I host the Old Bay Breakdown for the Maryland Bobcats. We release those Fridays at noon. And literally 2 minutes after I stopped recording, they released their roster, so I missed out on that. And the week before, right after they announced a bunch of stuff too. They just started training together in the past few weeks. They do have two former Bobcats on the team, and Orion Moosey and Molly Carpe, two guys who got a lot of minutes. There's a lot of talent on Syracuse, but you got to imagine at the start of the season, they're just not going to be able, they're not like, they've been playing together for a couple weeks. What are they going to be able to do? Flower City, I'm really interested to see. You know, there's some guys there with a lot of professional experience, but really not that much compared to some other teams in the league. I think they could struggle early on too, but I'm interested to see because we don't know that much because they're expansion teams, so we won't know until they really start playing. And then, Michigan Stars will always be the Stars. They'll always be a solid team. What they'll be this year with losing Devin Amumensa, I don't know, but I think it's all, we have to wait and see because I think this first week is going to tell us a lot.
All right, Adam. Hey, it's been really great to have you on the pod. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your evening to hang out with us and talk a little bit about Maryland. You know, Maryland is a club that we've followed very closely. Evan's a friend of the pod and has been on, and I'm hoping to see him tomorrow afternoon here in Chattanooga. So I'll this should go out tomorrow, and so maybe he'll listen to this before we meet and I'll have him critique your performance, so you can give you a little some pointers.
Some pointers
on.
With him.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
That's Adam Gotkin. He is play-by-play announcer for the Maryland Bobcats, and we appreciate him spending a little bit of time with us to talk about this Saturday's match, 2 p.m. at Finley Stadium. between the Chattanooga Football Club and the Maryland Bobcats. Adam, again, thanks a lot and have a great night.
Thanks for having
Thank
me.
Thank you. Too.
Well, again, thanks to Adam Gotkin for coming on to the podcast to talk a little bit about Maryland. Folks, what did you think about Adam?
He was awesome. He's going places. And he really should be really excited about what all he has done, not even graduating high school yet.
Yeah.
Such an impressive young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just
total trash prediction.
Yeah, no, we should talk to him about his predictions. He's slightly biased.
He's biased. He's got to root for his own club. I get.
I mean,
it.
You know what? But when it comes to how he, when it comes to how he articulated about his team, I was sitting there going, "Oh man, oh wow, yeah. they're going to be really good." Then I'm like, "Wait a minute, he's a hype machine. This guy is a programmed Maryland Bobcat hype machine."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he could have I'm been feeding us a loaf full of lies for all we know.
That's right. Well, so yeah,
we're not falling for it.
So, moving on to some club news. So we can, I know some of you've got, you've got to go and do other things with your evening. So, we had, you know, some things have happened. We got a new website. If folks haven't logged on, you will notice a big difference. I think it looks like they're still migrating some stuff over from the old site, but, the new site looks sharp. It is, you know, the same URL, but there's some, it looks sharp. I'm impressed by it and I can't wait to see, what else they do with it. There was, a countdown week of activities, that the club
awesome
did
fun
this week.
Community. Yes. I loved seeing the social media and everybody, you know, holding up like how many days till and all the different activities. It was a great way to hype up, opening match.
Yeah, did they ever announce who
it's
won
really
the best?
It made me regret living so far away.
Aww. Well, that's, you know, maybe you should just migrate closer. Yeah. Or get a tent and camp out in our yards.
There you go.
Yeah, did they ever announce who won the favorite CFC moment contest? I may have just missed it, but
no,
I don't think
I'm
I
not,
ever saw it.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. But tomorrow, I guess, or actually probably today as you're listening to this, since we record on Thursday evenings and I normally get it out on Friday, today is CFC Spirit Day. So you got to wear your blue to work or school and invite everyone out on for the Saturday match at 2 p.m. Remember, it's a 2 p.m. start. It's a little strange for us. I don't know. I can't remember the last time we did an afternoon start. It's been a little while, at least at Finley. So it's a 2 p.m. start at Finley against the Bobcats. The club also announced the poster series, with the first one being introduced for the Maryland game. And it's from an artist that we all know and love, Sean Burney. Sean used Burney. To did some design work or used to do some design work for the club. So you can come early, come often, and get the free limited edition poster. At the CFC store
it's
at Finley.
Awesome.
I've seen it. I want it.
Pretty cool looking.
Yep. I will need multiple copies of it. One for me to store away and then one for me to put on the wall. And maybe one for me to get autographs of Red and Dixon. So since that's who's on the poster.
Yeah, but let's be real, Jim. I think what you're most excited about is your first Finley Manganata of the season.
It better be there. Mm. I missed. I told Jeremy.
Jim.
What?
You have never given credit to who introduced you to the Manganata.
I mean, but I've never denied it.
I know, but like. If this hadn't happened, you would have never known about the Manganata.
But you were an ineffective hype machine for the Manganata, Todd.
You know what? That's fair. That's fair. I will accept that, and that's fine. And you have taken it. You have taken what I've given you, and you have ran with the Manganata. You are a true champion of the Manganata.
Yes. Right. So, yes, Todd did introduce it to me, but he did a piss-poor job of taking it to the world. So
I did not realize it was going to change your life the way it
did. While I may be, I might be standing on the shoulders of giants, I am the one holding up the world of the Manganata right now. I did make sure that Jeremy knew that I was onto him and his campaign against it. So, the taco truck better be there on Saturday. That's all I'm saying.
Can you confirm with us where you will be on Saturday? I saw you briefly from afar at the friendly last Saturday. So are you going to be in the stands? Are you going to be doing some stats?
I don't know.
Heat maps?
I don't know.
Wait, what?
So the club was on campus today. They were doing like an event on Chamberlain Field at UTC. So I walked up to say hi. Sam was there. Some other folks were there. I met a new staff person, Olivia, works in ticketing. Hi, Olivia, if you listen. And then Jack Bradshaw was there. So Jack and I were talking. And so Jack was like, "Hey, are you doing the Maikuchu?" And I'm like, I don't know. And so he's like, "I think you may be training somebody." So I don't know if I'm if I'm going to be up top and helping someone else take over, or if I'm going to be doing that. So, I will be in the stand. I will be in the stadium. Excuse me.
You'll be somewhere in the stadium.
Yeah, I don't know
where.
Well,
you know what? Because it's Spirit Week, then it's good to say then that there's a tailgate this Saturday. Yeah. Come as you are on the grassy knoll. Starts at 10. And we are bringing back the march to the match.
That's right.
Yeah, everyone that wants to come and do the Chattahooligan March into 109, you need to join us.
And be part of the fun. And for those of you that haven't or won't get your annual passes, this weekend's match is the cause of the night is the Ronald McDonald House. So if you haven't bought your ticket yet, you can use the code RMHC22 at CFCTix.com when you buy your ticket and get $3 off. And they're donating, a portion of all the ticket proceeds to the Ronald McDonald House.
Which is pretty awesome.
Good stuff.
Give back to the community.
Yeah.
The only other big news we had this week, we had one signing since we talked. It is a pretty big signing. So it's clear that the hashtag Sign Marcus campaign was highly effective. It was announced, I believe, yesterday, right? That we signed Marcus Nagelstad back for another year. He will be wearing, I think everyone is very excited about this. I don't really care.
Bold
but,
move there,
but
too.
Some people do. He'll be wearing the 99 shirt. So number 99 in your program, number one in your hearts.
I know it's a bold move.
I figure it's just somebody else has the 9, so he's wearing 99. So,
oh yeah, more than likely. But it's it's kind of interesting.
I'll be honest. I've been nervous all preseason about where are the goals going to come from. And we saw Rod's team
obviously
last year. So we saw Rod's team last year. We over at Stumptown, we saw them be creative. They play good soccer, and they did it all without a number 9 consistent goal scorer. So to me, this is like a big deal, because when you got somebody that can score goals, Jim, what's your go-to?
I don't know which one. Goals change games. What? I don't know.
Goals change games.
Yeah.
Goals change games. And to be able to have somebody that did it for us last year consistently, we know what he can do as long as he can stay healthy. He was sidelined last year with
Bob's
foot injury.
Healthy is the big part.
Right. Yeah, there was a healthy is a big part. And that's just unlucky. You get a foot or ankle injury and it just lingers. It's just unlucky. But hopefully this year he can stay healthy in what games? 15 goals and 9 assists. Like when you have your hand in 24 goals on a season, I'll take that. If you want to give that this year, worth every penny.
Yeah. Well, do you all want to take one final prediction as to who we're going to see in goal on Saturday starting? I think it's going to be Red.
You think it's going to be Red?
I think it's going to be Red. I think he's going to start.
I don't know. I kind of want to see Kevin Gonzalez in the goal. I want to see what he can do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be KG. I think it's going to be Kevin.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't have any. I mean, I've not talked to anybody about it, but that's who I think.
The one thing that I thought that he, yeah, I think the one thing that Red had to improve on, or was to improve on, was probably distribution out of the back. So I'd be interested just to see if that's improved.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was one of the parts of his game that he could improve on. If he improved on it, 25%, like, that was going to be huge and make him more of a complete keeper. So I don't know if that kind of stagnated and didn't develop in the off season, then I can see Gonzalez getting started on that. If it has, then maybe Red gets the green light for Saturday.
I'll say this. If our experience with Red over the past couple of years is indicative of anything, it's that Kevin better stay on top of his game, because Red will be working his ass off to get him off that, to get, take Red his place.
Throwing him.
So, Yeah, and that can only be good for both of them, they're fighting for that position. So it'll be interesting to see. I think we're pretty good either way, but I agree with Todd. The one concern I had with Red was distribution. And in talking with someone during the friendly, they felt like he had already made strides in training. So it should be interesting. I think we're okay either way, but it'll be something to look forward to when that first roster drops. The only thing, I don't think we have anything new really from the women's team. I know that you guys mentioned, I think you mentioned last week, that you had an advisory board meeting. And
on Sunday
we do, and so we're gonna have some big news in about another week, so mm-hmm. I think maybe we should hold off,
yeah, especially if our guest comes through for next week too.
All right,
there might be a lot more we can talk about in the next call or so.
Right, yeah, not good. Trying to vague book, but some things we have to vague book on right now.
Yeah, that's fine. We'd like, we haven't had any specific news, so we're still in a holding pattern for finding out who the coach is. And then after that, hopefully finding out who's going to be taking the pitch for the Sky Blue.
Yep. Because their season's fast approaching.
It really is.
Jerseys. We're going to see those soon. Jerseys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'll just
hey,
say.
Wait. Did we blow past like jersey reveal and everything for the men's team, or we rocking with what we had last year?
No, it's coming.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say that there's an aspect of the jersey that is going to be awesome. That's all I can say.
Don't mess with me, Jim.
That's all I can say.
Way to vague book there, Jim.
That is all I think. There are going to be some people who are like,
there is a portion of the jersey that's going to have sleeves.
Thank you. Maybe it's a sleeveless jersey.
I'm just saying,
you'll
there's
even
an aspect.
See a logo. So.
And you might see numbers on them. That's what I heard.
All right. To be fair, that's been an issue in the past, so we don't joke about numbers.
All I'm saying is there's an aspect of the jersey that people are going to really, really connect with. And I'm excited to see them. So anything else for the good of the order before we let everyone go? If not, go ahead, Chabby. Sorry.
Yep. I was going to say, those of us that are annual pass holders, we got a thank you call from a player at some point this week. I know I was so excited. If you didn't answer a phone call from a number you didn't recognize, you'd have missed it. But I got a personal phone call from Alex Hernandez this week thanking me for being a season pass holder. And I know that players were doing that kind of thing throughout the week. Like, what a beautiful way to be connected to your club. Like, we are a community.
It's an extra special touch.
Yeah. During the meet and greet with the coaches earlier this week, I made a point of saying thank you and how much we appreciate that and how it ties us all together. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. And I want to throw that out there, that these are the little touches that mean a lot.
That's wonderful. And now I'm going to, I didn't get a phone call.
Nobody called me.
So I don't know what we've done. I don't know what we've done, Todd. I don't know what we've done.
Maybe our cult's coming.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't understand. I'm devastated.
I don't know. I can call you tomorrow, Jim.
Okay.
Chattahooligan.
All right. Thank you, Shelly.
That'll make up for it.
That'll make up for it. Well,
I'll bring you a manganata. How about that?
Okay.
That would make up for it. Brought you a manganata.
That's great. All right. So as we get out of here, Shelly, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you on the interwebs?
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
Shabby, where can they find you?
I guess if you're looking for me, you'll find me on Twitter at Shabby Bell, ShabyBelle.
And Todd, where can the folks find you and all of the things that you're doing?
They can find me at Great Footballer. That's GR8FTBLR. And you can find me rubbing elbows with Sebby Salazar from ESPN.
That's right. I'm going to ask you about that a little off air. So guys, we'll see everybody next week. Again, this is Jim, AKA Chattahooligan. You can follow me, block me, mute me, do whatever you want at Chattahooligan on the Twitter. And until next week, go CFC.
Go Blues.
Off the outside of the crossbar. Chips.